There will be times when the struggle seems impossible. I know this already. Alone, unsure, dwarfed by the scale of the enemy. Remember this. Freedom is a pure idea. It occurs spontaneously and without instruction. Random acts of insurrection are occurring constantly throughout the galaxy. There are whole armies, battalions that have no idea that they've already enlisted in the cause. Remember that the frontier of the rebellion is everywhere, and even the smallest act of insurrection pushes our lines forward. And then remember this. The Imperial need for control is so desperate because it is so unnatural. Tyranny requires constant effort. It breaks. It leaks. Authority is brittle. Oppression is the mask of fear. Remember that. And know this. The day will come when all these skirmishes and battles, these moments of defiance, will have flooded the banks of the Empire's authority, and then there will be one too many. One single thing will break the siege. Remember this. Try.
Hello, and welcome back, folks, to another Pitscriber episode. This is Richard Greaser. You know, to be honest, I've probably recorded like 4 hours of content that I have discarded, and I am confident this time I'm not. So you're going to hear the finished product of this. But yeah, I've been thinking a lot and just reflecting a lot on what I'm seeing in the Bitcoin culture right now. It's something I do regularly. And, you know, sometimes it takes me a lot of time to just like sit and process what I'm seeing, to step back, to, you know, poke and prod. And it is very, very clear that a lot of people are very scared right now for a variety of reasons. When you listen to the scared Nazi pleb talk, you know, they're terrified that Bitcoin, this thing that has been, you know, their savior, their anchor for some of them years, some of them it's a relatively new thing. They're terrified that it's going to be taken from them by other people, by the bad guys, by the financial institutions, by the spammers, by, you know, all these individuals and characters that are, one, using Bitcoin differently than them, are different than them, think different than them, have different incentives than them, and that they have very little understanding of. And, you know, for many of these, you know, scared Nazi plebs, they have a low context for, one, how Bitcoin works, but like how the larger, broader ecosystem of the way that people interact with Bitcoin. They've got their people that they hang out and talk with on social media, on Noster, on Twitter. They'll listen to the same podcast as them. They gauge perspective, or like their entire perspective and the way that they gauge sentiment is based on YouTube comments, on Twitter comments, on the vibes that they feel as they're watching somebody through a screen. A computer screen. They listen to the person's the inflection in their voice. They don't shake these people's hands very regularly or like have interactions with them in person or sit down with them at bars, you know, for a long time. And so there's a lack of entropy in the way that individuals oftentimes are shaping their perceptions. And I think we're all at danger of this. And this is really one of the dangers, you know, just today, my entire feed is about people talking about how the Twitter algorithm has rapidly changed or massively changed. They're like, I see my friends now. Hello, friends. I missed you. The way that these algorithms work on these social platforms is they essentially are framing and creating reality for these people. And I've noticed that the more that I engage with a certain topic, the more that I see the topic. And I get kind of tired of it because I just get tired of engaging with these topics. you know, from the time to time. Like, there's nothing inspiring about arguing with grumpy Nazis. And I'm not really sure how grumpy Nazis are. Like, I think there's a variety of reasons why I have targeted the plebs so much. And it's not because I don't like these people. It's not because I don't think that they're bad people. It's because I think they need a little bit of a reality check for their own sake, for their own sanity, that they're getting their vortexes spinned by pleb sloppers, and they have no idea. They just have no defense for this whatsoever. That even, you know, the base premise of, you know, referring to themselves as plebs and associating with each other as plebs is counterproductive in and of itself. You know, in talking with people like, you know, Avi Burra, for example, who is somebody that I like and respect a lot, who had a brand based on pleb, you know, some of my great friends like John and Max, they, you know, ran a podcast, Pleb Minor Mafia, or Pleb Minor Monthly. They have a group chat. You know, the term pleb was popular for a while, and it essentially meant that you weren't an industry shill. And it's how people learn to associate with each other. Is there was the insiders, the shills, and then there was the plebs. Like, the plebs was an individual that was an enthusiast, that didn't have, like, an expressed, you know, interest in anything, or so they claimed. They're just a, you know, goofball that listened to a lot of podcasts and, you know, wanted to have a positive impact on the world. And they were tired of seeing people like Pop, Shill BlockFi, or whatever. And, you know, what happened with this group of people that was super passionate, you know, you had a bunch of meme gangs. The meme gangs were made up with plebs. Like, what happened with this group of people is a lot of began working in the industry in one way or another. And a lot of the people that were working in the industry figured out that they could virtue signal to the plebs, and they could become loyal customers. And so there became this giant operation by savvy marketers to essentially traffic the plebs as their product base. So, you know, VCs would fund these companies. The companies would put all this marketing spend into marketing the plebs. They would spin their vortexes, get them all excited, give them a moral crusade. They would issue purity tests. And the purity tests were meant to differentiate this company from their competitors. They might not have a competitive edge, but they can issue, you know, purity tests and market to the plebs and, you know, understand the social ecosystem, and that gives them enough differentiation to get a strong customer base. And so what started as this attempt to differentiate good intentioned individuals that were excited about something turned into a movement of a bunch of low context, easily manipulable goofballs. And that's what a large portion of this whole discussion around BIP 110 has been. And what is frustrating about it is that it's really poisoned the conversation. Because when you have a bunch of individuals that have no idea what they're talking about, and they just like stand up and they stomp their feet and they make a bunch of noise, it drowns out any individuals that have any legitimate criticisms. You know, they latch on to unproductive activities that are not going to yield the results that they're looking for, because they're afraid and they're ignorant, and they're being manipulated with, you know, very like blatant kind of populist tactics. Instead of we the people, it's we the plebs. You know, just the bullshit, the same bullshit in, you know, that you see the kayfabe that you see in politics, and they're demanded, they think they can demand that to be taken seriously, and they're not being serious, which is why, you know, I think it's important to reflect back to them that they're not serious, and they're not going to realize it for a while if they have the self-awareness to ever realize it. Like, the only way that they're going to realize is through pain and through bad decisions and through you know, living in fear for a lot of time. And, you know, because when you turn your brain off and you run around like a chicken with your head cut off, like a pleb, scared pleb, it's bad for the relationships in your life. It's bad for making critical decisions. Like you're not going to do too well. But anyway, so I wrote this article, and I didn't want to turn this all into BIP 110, but I think, you know, there's some themes that I want to talk about that I think are important, and I'll get to it after I read this article. So, you know, the article that I wrote is called "The Case for Banning Plebs from Running Nodes." Bitcoin discourse has gotten political, consisting of name calling, smear campaigns, and scrutiny over developers' sex lives. Plebs do not understand technical merits and therefore cannot